because there's been a problem I've been trying to solve since I had my last colonoscopy. But when I went in the first time, they said, "You didn't leave us any messages down there, did you?" I said, "Messages? What are you talking about, messages?" I said, "Yeah, you know, like last week we had a guy come in. He had his wife take a Sharpie and he wrote a bullseye around his butthole." I said, "What?" "So yeah, we didn't know until we had him on the table. There was a bullseye for us to insert." I said, "Oh my gosh, that's amazing." I said, "Yeah." And we had another guy who wrote in the back of his knee, "Insert here," and he took the arrow all the way up the back of his thigh and then pointed towards his butthole. I said, "What? Are you? No, I didn't do anything back there. I didn't even think of this. But next time, I'm coming prepared." So it's been 3 years. I've been thinking, what am I going to do? And I've got some good ideas. The problem is it's past 2:30 in the morning, and somewhere with anal leakage and getting up and falling back to sleep, God met me in the night. He told me what to do. It came to me. Dude, they haven't heard you laugh like this, dude. Welcome to The Aggressive Life. We're back with another question episode, and Dirt is going to be running us through the paces, or running me through the paces. Are you going to be gentle with me, Dirt?
Never.
You have to be very gentle. Be very, very careful. We're going to talk, I think, about the summer, and if you've missed them, we've done these quote-unquote one-question episodes on marriage, prayer, how to hear God's voice, and you can find links to those past episodes if you want to. But today, we're going to do something a little different, something lighter. Sometimes it's the light things. Sometimes the fun things, but Dirt, that to push your life forward.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is rest. What do you do over the summer? What do I do over the summer to rest and prepare to hit it really hard? Most of us have a bit of a downtime in the summer. The businesses maybe we're with don't maybe sell as much on the summer, or people are out on vacations more. Obviously, if you're a school teacher, something like that, you have a different work rhythm if you're working at all over the summer. I know for me and my day job occupation, pastor at Crossroads Church, attendance is a little down this summer because people are traveling a lot. You've also got more staff people who are taking vacations, so you really can't start a lot of new initiatives because people are just in different rhythms. And for myself, summer has been a key time for me to retool. So we're going to talk about that today. Dirt, be gentle. It's on you. Go.
Great. Well, let's just start easy. How do you think about summer? Is summer downtime for you? Is it not down as in you're not doing anything, but you're focused somewhere else? Like, summer's coming. How are you thinking about it?
Yeah. Well, the way I think about it maybe traces back to my blue-collar roots in Pittsburgh. Not that I was ever blue-collar. My dad wasn't blue-collar. He was a nuclear engineer, troubleshot nuclear reactors. But the trades were all around me in Pittsburgh, a place where there was fabrication and assembly lines and all that stuff. And the big thing about factory life or production life is retooling, right? That's when you're taking your tools, your robots, your drill presses, all that stuff that's grinding things, it's drilling things, it's forming things, and you have to get new tools, new dies, taps, all that stuff. And when you do that, the plan is down. And that's the reason why people don't want to retool. When I retool, the plant's down. So I look at summer as it's the time for me to do the basic essentials of what I have to do, and then free up space for me to retool my life, retool my mind, refresh myself, get ready for another year. That's basically how I look at it. My season, I have a season that runs from, in essence, September 1st to June 15th. That's how I look at it. And so, yeah, it's a retooling.
Yeah, great. So what are some of those things specifically that retool you?
this is different for everybody. You have to learn how you get retooled. You have to learn how you rest. What works for you? What works for me isn't going to work for you. Who is it? Winston Churchill said something to the effect of, he who works with his hands rests with his mind, and he who works his mind rests with his hands. That's why Winston Churchill used to be a painter. He used to just build a brick wall in his backyard just to give him something to do, because that was different for him. So I'm going to be doing things physically that I don't normally do. I'm looking to go on a bike trip. We're going to, and by the way, it sucks to be me. I have a job where I've structured it to take a lot of time off, and I have a lot of time off, and I have the resources to enjoy it too. So this is what everybody can do, but I know I've been doing this, and I've been building this way for decades, actually. So I'm going to take a long bike trip. We're going to go up to Alaska, Prudhoe Bay, the northernmost part in the world that you can ride a motorcycle, or North America anyway. We're going to do that. That's going to be pretty intense. That's a bucket list item. My son and I got turned back from that goal when we did it when he was 17, so 16 years ago or something like that. Going to do that. I'm going to do an overlanding trip with a couple friends. We're going to go to Wyoming. I'm going to do that for a week. And some other stuff like that I'm doing. One of the things I'm doing, talking about my hands, Dirt, is I'm on my new restoration project. So I'm going to spend a lot of time this summer doing my restoration project, which is a 1952 Dodge Power Wagon. It was funny. I was just telling you about the my colonoscopy. I don't know if the aggressive life people would like to get.
Would like to, please do.
You think?
Oh, I think.
How long are these one question episodes supposed to be?
If we're telling a funny story, then we're gonna make it as long as we need.
All right. I'm not sure when this will play during my day job on stage. Maybe I'll do it a Father's Day, but. Colonoscopies are wonderful. They're wonderful. They're awesome. I mean, when you have your first colonoscopy, you have your first deep sleep nap in a while. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. The only thing that's not good about it is the prep for it. Actually, this last time I took it, there was two preps I took. A drink of some solution earlier in the day. You have to fast and not have anything for a day. Fasting is a part of my spiritual rhythm, so fasting is no problem, whatever. But then at 2:30 in the morning, that's when you get your second round of goo you have to do. And by that point, it's not just diarrhea, it's just water that's coming out, because they need everything clean to take their camera up there and all that stuff. So I'm getting up in the middle of the night and like peeing through my butthole. It's just horrible. It's just horrible because I can't sleep. I got to take this drink at 2:30 in the morning. And then on top of that, I fall back to sleep. And then I get anal leakage while I'm sleeping. I don't remember the last time I woke up and the bed was wet. And it was wet because of my butthole. It's horrible. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. And I got to sleep on a towel when I get back. It was awful. Now, there was one redeeming thing about it, because God met me. In the middle of the night, because there's been a problem I've been trying to solve since I had my last colonoscopy. Have you had a colonoscopy, Dirt?
I haven't, but the time is coming soon.
I haven't
scheduled it, but I just turned 40, so I know it's probably coming up.
I think it's 50 when they want to, right?
Well, good. Well, I got some time then.
I think. Okay. Well, you just talk to your doctor. But when I went in the first time, they said, you didn't leave us any messages down there, did you? I said, messages? What are you talking about, messages? I said, yeah, you know, like last week we had a guy come in. He had his wife take a Sharpie and he wrote a bullseye around his butthole. I said, what? So yeah, we didn't know until we had him on the table. And there was a bullseye for us to insert. And I said, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I said, yeah. And we had another guy who wrote in the back of his knee, insert here, and he took the arrow all the way up the back of his thigh and then pointed towards his butthole. I said, what? Are you? No, I didn't do anything back there. I didn't even think of this. But next time, I'm coming prepared. So it's been 3 years. I've been thinking, what am I going to do? And I've got some good ideas. The problem is my wife won't participate in this. I mean, I need somebody to do something back there. And she said, no, I'm not going to do it. No. It's stupid. I said, not stupid, honey. It's awesome. It's great. Even the nurse was chuckling. chuckling when she talked about it. She wasn't having any part of it. So I'm wrestling with, what am I going to do? And time is ticking down. So now it's past 2:30 in the morning, and somewhere with anal leakage and getting up and falling back to sleep, God met me in the night. He told me what to do. It came to me out of nowhere. It's like, that was the voice of God right there. I bet God's always, as anyone who's African American would know, have African American background church, he's right on time. He's always right on time. And he was right on time. And I got the idea. So I found the largest Sharpie in the morning. And of course, I gave my wife one last shot. She said, no, I'm not. No, it's stupid. No, absolutely not. Okay, I'm on my own. So I got the big mirror bent out in front of it, and I wrote, it took up an entire butt cheek. Dude, they haven't heard you laugh like this, dude. It took up an entire butt cheek. It was a dollar sign You know, the big S, the bottom of the S goes all the way over the butthole and an arrow goes to it. And then the two hashes, a big dollar sign pointing my butthole, because for that doctor, it's the money hole. So it's the money hole for him. That's where he earns his money, in the money hole. So I go in and they say, hey, is it okay for you to be on your left side? Put me on my left side. And I go, Melissa, I'm like to myself, perfect. Yeah, because I did the right butt cheeks. Yeah, that's fine. So I went in and was talking with them a bit. They're good humors. And then I gave them a nice little surprise once they put me under. So it was wonderful. And every time I tell a story, everyone laughs their sphincter off. And I just have to tell my wife, see, it's funny.
It was funny.
It's funny. Everyone thinks it's funny. Yeah. All right, let's get back to our
questions. I don't know if we can transition back or not. That's going to be hard. No, so you did say that you've worked really hard to set up your calendar so that you have extended time in the summer.
Right.
Is that because there was a time you didn't do that? Was there a time where you were just going full tilt through the summer all the time?
Yeah, it started for me when I knew that for my job, the key deliverable was preaching, and you've got to do that. Well, in the early days of the job, I was a one-armed paper hanger. I'm preparing for talks. I'm building into staff. I'm running meetings. We didn't have any support systems like we have right now. So the pitch point to me and I gave the board was, I need to get away to have some intensive time to fill my mind, fill my spirit, because I can only put out what goes in. I need to read books, so I just read loads and loads and loads of books. I would come back and actually have a talk, what I learned on my summer break, on my study break. And I would have all the books up on the stage, and there was bunches of them, and I would just go through, here's what I learned here. It was almost like I felt like I had to justify the church while I was away for 6 weeks. And then as the church started to grow and staff structures started to grow, I had more people doing things. So it was less about, I have to get away to get content for the next year. And it was more about this realization of, it seems like my biggest creative breakthroughs happen when I'm not in my day-to-day job. Again and again and again and again and again. It happens when I'm out doing something. Like one of our big breakthroughs we've had at Crossroads is Horse Week. And that came when I was out hunting and I met Todd Pierce and heard what he did. Breakthrough. Like if I sat around my office all day and said, what creative idea could we have to boost attendance and build into people? I would never come up with that. But it's when I'm out, I'm detached, I'm maybe detoxing, I'm doing something I wouldn't do. So when I realized that, then we shifted the language from, it's not a summer study break, it's just summer break. Because I didn't even want to feel like I had to come back and justify why it was and give all the books that I read. Because that was stressful. Like now I got to have a reading list and impress people with my reading list and justify that I spent this time. No, let's just transition to that. It's just a time for me to decompress. And especially when the kids were growing up, they wouldn't have me on weekends. We had Saturday night services and it was tough for our family. So it was a way to tell them, hey, the church cares for you, cares for our family. Isn't it great that the church lets us have this family time for 6 weeks? And then it's grown. It's, gosh, it's a lot this summer, more than I've done. I don't know what it is. It's a lot. But I do it not because I've earned the right. I do it because there's value that comes to my life and the people I serve because breakthroughs happen. It's not just I get refreshed. That's a good one. But I also normally an idea comes that's going to impact our ministry. And then at the end of the time, I know I'm ready for it because I just start getting more angry. You know?
You're like, I just need this time now.
Yeah. And Darren always reminds me, our executive pastor and Kyle Ranson, our lead pastor, always reminds me, like, as I get intense on things, I go, hey, look at it's May. This is the time of year when the wheels start to come off for you. So just be wary. Just don't ream anybody out. Don't do anything stupid. Just don't go overboard. Just recognize this is the rhythm. You get worn out right around now, and you're generally not at your best emotionally. And that's true. So I get reminded that I need it.
Well, that's the importance of having trusted people around you too.
Well, 100%.
To say that to you.
One of the marks of a man, right? You got to have a team. You got to have people who know you and understand you. And one of my biggest meltdowns I had, or crisis times I had, came when I didn't do my standard long extended break. I did a week here and a week there over the summer one time. I thought, I just don't need it. And one of my friends, 512, who just had 512 yesterday.
Oh, 512,
yesterday. 512 day, it was yesterday. 512.
How did you celebrate 512
Oh,
day?
Man. We had Seg, one of the guys I work with, he designed a little sticker. So it said 512. So it was like a 512 beer sticker. And we took it to the place we go and we asked them if we could stick it on the tap. So we stuck it on the tap. So it was a 512 beer. So we had a 512 with 512 on 512 at 512.
That's perfect.
May 12th. And anybody in the bar who ordered a 512 said, I'll have the 512. We pay for their beer.
That's awesome.
It wasn't that many, fortunately. But anyway, 512 said to me years ago, I don't like you saying that. It sounds like you may not take a full break. You sound like somebody who's bipolar who says, I'm starting to feel good, and they go off their meds. Maybe you're feeling good because you're on your meds and you shouldn't go off them. Mm. So, yeah, that was good counsel I got.
Well, I know you're in a position, even when you're on break, you still have a lot of things probably competing for your time. So how do you prioritize, like, family versus fun versus hobby versus a getaway rest? Is one more important than the other? Or you try to balance them or what?
Yeah, I try to – I just took a bite of Slim Jim. Mm. I should have not taken it. It's actually called Slim Jim. It's called Chomps.
Chomps are good.
They're very good. I never had it. This is actually looks healthy. Is that right?
Yeah. Sponsor is Chomps.
Yeah, right. We don't have any cool sponsors right now, do we? Chomps. I like it a lot. So you have to figure out what works for you in your rest. What you do for your rest, how you schedule it. Here's what I do. For the first week when I'm gone, it is an email fast and a fast from all things of my normal job. I don't text anybody. I don't try to find out what's going on. I don't know. I am off for it's a week blackout. Then beyond that, I will be engaged as much as how I may look at my email. Someone may have a question or something. They can call me. That's fine. It actually helps me relax more because for me, knowing myself, I feel like I'm still engaged appropriately and I'm not going to go back to any surprises. And I feel like I can still add value, but I never come in the building. I don't go to an office. I don't, I might meet somebody at a coffee shop or something. We have to talk about something like that, but I'm getting a complete different rhythm. Then what I want to have in there too is I want to have things that I'm going to do, things I'm going to experience. But I also don't want it packed, nonstop. I want to be able to have days in a row where it's just, I don't know what I'm going to do. It's just days in a row. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the pool. I'm going to read. I'm going to work in the garage. So that's what I've done. And one of the things I'm going to do this year is I'm going to work on my 1952 Dodge Power Wagon in some of that time.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's going well.
So last thing, I know probably a lot of our listeners aren't going to have 5 weeks off in a row or six or whatever. But I know you would tell them, even if you have one, don't leave it on the table, right?
Yeah. Well, let's go back to micro, because I know people can't do what I'm doing, and that's fine. You have to get to a place in your life where your life is customized for who you are, and you're able to do that only because of many, many years of paying your dues and climbing the ladder. Then you get that sort of flexibility. But you can do the real simple stuff, like take a Sabbath. That is a day where you don't do any of your normal work, a Sabbath. The Bible is really, really clear that God rests from his labors. He works 6 days, six epics, six whatever you want to personally believe. He works 6 days, and then he rests from his labors. But human beings are created on the sixth day. So when the Sabbath day comes, humans aren't resting from their work. Humans are resting for their work. We rest to work. We don't rest from work. So this has to happen on a regular rhythm every week. And we have to honor ourselves and honor God's command by taking a Sabbath, or else we're going to grind to a halt. Our life just isn't going to work anymore. So if you're taking your regular Sabbath, regular weekly Sabbath, doing them right, if you're taking, you know, regular weekends, having a holiday, if you're doing those things right, you're high likelihood you're not going to need 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks off in a year. You're not going to need that in one chunk. Problem is, very few people know how to rest. Resting is not going into a casino for an entire day. That might be okay, but hang outside a casino. Do you see people coming out of a casino with life in their eyes and life in their step? Especially not if they're at the slot machines. Yeah. Especially not. Maybe if they hit it big in blackjack, maybe. But you don't get. Do you see people coming away from dark rooms of gaming feeling energized with new idea? I'm pro gaming. I've thought about getting into it. So I get it. I get it to a degree. I also get that. It doesn't seem that people who game for hours and hours on end, that they're getting over their depression, that they're getting over their blockades and their development. You have to figure out what works for you and schedule that. Do that. Not just say, I'm taking time off and hopefully it works out. It won't work out. It won't be helpful unless you make it helpful.
Yeah, great. I remember you saying if you come into your vacation in the negatives, you might get back to zero. What's zero? You're not going to have any energy when you get back to work, right? You got to come into your vacation maybe on zero or 10 or something and get back to 100, right?
Right. Yeah, that's part of why I have high expectations for this year is I'm actually feeling better than I ever have at this time of year. I'm being less angry at this time of year than I would ever. A lot of that's because of Kyle. It's his first time as a lead pastor. He's taken a lot of weight from me and he's getting pissy with people instead of me just getting pissy. There's somebody else doing it, I guess. But it's been a really joyful ministry season for me, ministry year. And so I'm going into this not sucking wind. I'm going into this with a sense of, hey, this could be good.
Awesome. Yeah. Last question, and then why don't you take us out? What are you looking forward to the most in the fall?
I'm looking forward the most in fall man camp because we've started to get some momentum with it. We got our biggest man camp last year. I think this one will be bigger, and we're going to a new place on our land. Since we bought land, we've now started a new land, additional land. We're now reformatting, so we're going to be at a new place. There's going to be more flat spots, and I'm just dreaming more about camp. So I'm really excited about that. We've got some special surprises that are going to happen as well. So that's the thing I'm looking forward to most in the fall.
Awesome.
All right. Hey, look, September's coming. So take something you heard today, put it in practice, build some rhythms, do something for your life. You know that unless you maintain your car, it's not going to last. You know that. You know that unless you maintain your house, change the filters on the HVAC system, it's not going to last. Why do we think that our body and our mind and our spirit is any different? You have to maintain it. You have to have preventative maintenance. So find something to do to maintain, preventative maintain your life, bless your life, take care of it. It's the only one you have. We'll see you next time on The Aggressive Life. Thanks for joining us on this journey toward aggressive living. Find more resources, articles, past episodes, and more at briantome.com. My new book, a 60-day devotional called The 5 Marks of a Man, 60 Days to a Powerful Life, along with all the other books in the 5 Marks library, are open right now on Amazon. Be sure to leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. Then send an email to dirt@briantome.com to get a free Aggressive Life sticker. Find more on Instagram at Brian Tome. The Aggressive Life is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.